each one of us, as we not only grow in Christ, but as we grow up in a world where we see so much brokenness, so much bitterness, we see so much hurt, so much pain all around us, and we don't understand. We don't understand why the good die young. We don't understand why babies have to suffer in any way. We don't understand this, and we don't understand that. God says, I understand. I understand about my creation. I created you to love you. I understand you, Larry. Nobody else ever will, but I understand you. Because I created you. You as an individual. If God took time out of all creation just to create you, your personality, who you are, don't you think that makes you pretty important? But more so, does that not make our commitment to Christ more urgent and more important? As Brother Randy said, God loves me with all of His love. I can't get any more love. I cannot receive any gift greater than the Son of Almighty God. I cannot. Because God says, I love you. I am allowing you to worship me. I'm going to let you hear my word. I will send my prophets. I will send those who will rightly divide my word. But then there's something going on in the human race that many do not think about. Many Christians do not ponder within their heart. And that something is this. For one thing, the law of God. God has set in motion all that exists. He did not set in motion all that exists to let it run wild. God said, I want to bring together the chaos. I want to put together the darkness and the light. All of existence. And in all existence, there will never be any of my creation that will be more important than the human race. Everything, God says, that I've created for you. What a love! Even to the point, I'm going to send my Son, my only begotten Son, and my Son is going to bring to your heart a message direct from me. He will not speak unless he is quoting me. All miracles my Son will perform will be the miracles I've told him to perform, because my Son and I are one together. When you've seen Jesus, you've seen me. And when my Son leaves, he is going to bring into you my seal, says God. My seal, the Holy Spirit, my Spirit, the Spirit of my Son, my only begotten Son. And I am going to seal you throughout eternity. I'm going to put my mark on you. Satan knows you belong to me. And anytime you will cry out to me, he also knows that I'm going to listen. But I tell you this, says God, and I want you to understand, I did not create you out of the chaos for no purpose. I created you for a purpose. Now, here's the promise I give you. God says, I have a plan for your life. Here it is. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. That sounds like a pretty good plan to me. But again, God says, I'm going to place restrictions on myself. This is God. The only thing that God will be restricted from are self-imposed restrictions. And two of them are very important to us, as are they all. But he says, I have a plan for you. And I want you to know that when I tell you about your plan, that I am not a man where I could lie. I cannot lie. God imposed a restriction on himself to let us know you will never ever hear a lie come from him. And then yet there was a big, big important other restriction he placed on himself. God says that he cannot make me follow him. God restricted his own power. God says, I cannot make your heart follow me or love me. I can't do it because I've chosen you to where you can have your freedom of choice. No nation gave me the right of freedom of choice. No army could take it away from me. God said, I give you freedom. Freedom to follow me or freedom not to. And then he tells us, this is my plan for you. Anybody see any problem with that plan? I mean, is there something in that plan that just frightens you? Or is God's plan exciting to you? God says, my plan I have for you is to prosper you, not harm you, to give you a hope and a future. The greatest future that I have is yet to come. It's not on this earth. I'm leaving it. So are you. God says, I have a plan never to harm you. So any harm that comes to you is not for me, but I will not make you choose me. How many lessons do we read in Scripture? How many times will we read those stories that God gave to us for our learning? Learn something from the days of old. I don't want to hear anything about that. That's all past and gone, is it? Oh, do you ever hear the term history repeating itself? Well, here's another sickening one. Every dog returns to its own vomit. That's exactly, why did God tell me that one? Because that's exactly what sin is. When you have said yes to me, and you return back away from me, it's like a dog returning to his own vomit. You all will have that in your mind for the rest of the day and most of the night. But mainly when you go to lunch. Really, preacher, did you have to say it that way? But is that not a fact? Is that not a fact of our life? One day, yes, Lord, I'll follow you anywhere. The next day, I didn't know it was going to be thou. God, thank you for sending your only begotten son. If I was the only one alive, Jesus would have died for me or you. That's the plan. God has a plan because he doesn't make junk. There's no mistakes in God's planning. It is perfect. Now, here's our choice. Here's your choice. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. My choice is, your choice is, offer yourself as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to His service. God will not put me in His service without me agreeing to go into His service. Without me agreeing by faith, God says, I called you. And who God calls, He equips. And when God says, I will prosper you, He will prosper you. Many are looking for money. It ain't there. No. How many would give their fortune for a little peace of mind? How can I be at peace in my mind if every other second I'm planning my next sin? Oh, it's easy for us to do that. Plan our next sin. Lord, I won't do that way anymore. Maybe the next time I won't get caught. The warning is out. It's our choice. Will you accept God's plan for your life? Or are you going to continue to reject it? The Bible tells us what happens either way. Also, though, please remember, I will not make you. I will not trick you into following me. That's just the opposite of what Satan does. Do not conform to the standards of this world. Huh. Well, what are people going to think of me? I administer music at Van Grove Baptist Church. He's half gone. He's just shouting and singing and trying to get people to get involved. And if that ain't bad enough, the pastor gets up and he's half gone. Both of us ought to be able to relate to all of you quite well. And all those who are listening. Because we are in a culture that has completely turned us upside down. Well, I don't want to condemn that. Judge not, lest ye be not judged. That focuses on, you don't have a right to tell somebody they're going to hell. You don't have that right. It focuses on, judge not, lest ye be judged. That means, look at your own life. For what you're judging others on, you will be judged yourself. So I stay out of the judgment business. But as a Christian, I realize, folks, I have a right to judge what is right and what is wrong in my life. I must judge that. I must judge the difference. But God said, pay attention. This is how much I love you. Don't conform to the standards of this world. Why not? The standards of this world are destroying us, are they not? It's the standards of this world that's splitting up the families. It's the standards of this world that makes us greedy, selfish, focusing only on me, me, me. But let God transform you. God transforms. You and I don't. We cover up. I mean, look, Lord, I'll be honest with you. But now when it comes to other human beings, I'm frightened to be directly honest with this is what's hurting me. Because I know someone will hear about it. Isn't that sad? That is really sad. Do you know that even for us Baptist ministers, that in a court of law, any type of counseling that we have done, we do not have to reveal what was said. Even for us. Huh? My Catholic brethren, they, from the law of the state of Kentucky, I just don't sit in the booths. I have claustrophobia. But the Lord says, I'm in your heart. Talk to me. Please. Sure God can see what's going on. Sure, He knows it. Well, why should I bother Him with it if He knows it? He wants us to understand that He knows it enough that we will go to Him with it. He's the only one we can trust. I know you love him. He's the only one you can trust. He does not tell the world the secrets of your heart. Here's a good key to that. Once I revealed that hurt to God in prayer, and he says, I forgive you. Do you realize that that can never, ever be brought against me ever again? Never. Well, somebody's going to talk about it in heaven. No, they're not. And they're going to be just as many people up there in heaven as surprised to see you as you are to see them, too. Because man looks at only the physical. God says, I want to make you clean from within. Do your own showering. I want you to be clean from within, and I'm the only one that can clean you. I'm the only one that can give you that peace of mind, but it's your choice. It's your choice. I will not force on you my love. I'll show you my love. I'll show you my forgiveness. But be careful, Christian. Don't push back so many times on God, because there is a point to where enough is enough. God sees the heart of each of us. Can Satan ever cast me to hell? No, he doesn't have any authority over anything to do with me. Only authority he has over me is what I give him. When Jesus lives in you, Satan ain't about to get in there on his own. Jesus already threw him out of heaven. He already knows the outcome of this world, this life. The demons tremble at the name Jesus. Sadly, God's greatest creation trembles because we continually want to do whatever we're doing against God. And you know God says, when you do that, Christian, it is sin. When you know what is the right thing to do and you do not do it, then that's sin. And that is proof that sin has not been eradicated from your mind and from your thoughts. No, you see, I have to accept the healing from Jesus. I have to accept the forgiveness from Jesus. But if he's forgiven me and he says to me, Larry, I have looked in your life and I know every sin that you will ever commit while walking on planet Earth, and I want you to know this, that I came in human form so that I would undergo every temptation that you have or ever shall have. And I want you to know that I've conquered them. And the only way they'll conquer you is if you push me out of the way. Because I give you the freedom of choice. But even in your ignorance, you're still my child. Even in your bad choosing, we just don't choose wisely so often because we're pleasure seekers. And the pleasure seeking is for now, for this moment. Well, this for now and this moment not going to last very long. The older you get, the more you'll notice that. Do years get shorter? People say, no, they're the same. Yeah, well, you wait till you're some of our ages looking at it. But let God transform you. Then you will be able to know the will of God. What is good, pleasing, and perfect. You know when you have, we talk about the perfect will of God. You have to, you read the scripture. It says that as Christ was perfect, I want you to be perfect. There's your definition for the word in Greek of perfect. Means it fits. That's the definition of that word we use as perfect in Scripture. In Greek, it's painted as though I can recognize it fits. What fits? The will of God, that which is good and pleasing. And it fits. God's will for your life fits your life. Just right. Tailored suit fits your life. Fits your body. Fits your mind. Fits your spirit. God said, I'm not going to give anything to you that's not looking good. It fits you. If you're a grouch, you'll be looking good as you go out remaining a grouch for Jesus. I don't never ask someone to change their personality. That's part of who I am and you also. What Jesus says to us is this. As a wild stallion is trained and tamed, that's what I want you to be for me. Each individual. I gave you that personality. I don't care what people think about that personality. I've given you that personality so that I could bless it. But you have to turn it over to me. You have to offer yourself and let me make the changes in your life. Because we do not want to change. Because the world fits pretty good. Now that world might not be tailored for me. But you know, it fits good enough. Nothing fits good enough. Or even compares to the perfect suit that Jesus Christ offers you. What is good and pleasing and perfect, it fits. Over the years of my ministry, 40-something, I remember when I was called and I said, Lord, I hope and pray that I will give you the rest of my life and be as committed to you as I've been committed to the world. I remember that prayer. And it did not take long in my ministry till I messed it up. Not long at all. And the ways of the world and the battles of the world, and you see hurt, you see tragedy, you see all these things. And you think, Lord, did you get this right? Lord, when I preach your message and preach your message of the hope, will I get to see that hope? Lord, give me a sign. Oh, gosh, that just makes me sick when I say it. He's already given me the sign. I've been born again, born from above, born anew. I'm a child of the living God. And the sign I will give you is me in you. Pay attention, Larry Pete. I got a job for you to do. And you don't have a right to quit on me. I didn't quit on you. I love you. And I love all your congregation. I love all those who are listening. And I have a message for them. And you don't have a right not to preach it. But I love you, Larry. Oh, Brother Randy, there's nothing in the world. You all know this, Christians. Better than when you're right in the middle of hell, it seems like itself. And you're looking around and you see no hope. And you get the hug. And that, for the world, that dumb looking grin comes on your face. And the world says, you act like you know something. We don't. Yeah. What a hug. But I don't have a right not to give it away. There's nothing God gave me that it gave me to keep. The only meaning is my life is based on what I give away. And I don't care what part of my life that is. I don't care what that is. You see, I got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. God has created a retirement dwelling for you and me. Now, one thing you'll learn. A retirement as a Christian has nothing to do with me going to the creek bank fishing. It simply means that at the time I step out of this body and meet my Savior, the promise is already there. Larry, count it as though you're already here. And then, according to Scripture, I'm going to be ministering, telling the story of Jesus Christ throughout eternity. Woo! I like that. I mean, I got a body coming. I can just show up and walk in a door and don't even have to open it. I like that. I know, girls, you and I will be shouting one of these days in glory. And God will let me sing. And you all will say, boy, it's a great voice, Brother Larry. Why didn't you use it on earth? Because I didn't have it when I was here. Be at peace with God's plan for your life. But the time has come for each of us to stand up or shut up. The time has come for the Christians to come out of the closet. The time has come for us to unite together.